Give folks an opportunity to be seated. This is a unique year for us because this year marks our 25th year, believe it or not, as a church. 25 years. It was back in April of 1989 that Karen and I, along with our three young boys, came to Olathe to plant this church. I was young then. I was 27 years old. I was somewhat naive. And I really didn't have any idea of how to plant a church. What I did have was a firm sense of God's calling and a strong conviction that Jesus Christ was in the process of building his church and that he uses people to reach people with the gospel and then grow them as disciples through his word. And so that's what we did. As a young pastor, I didn't want to merely just do church. I felt there were already plenty of churches doing that. What I wanted to do was to recover from Scripture what Christ wanted his church to be, and then regardless of the results, regardless of where that would take us, be that kind of church. But we started meeting in a little rented building off of 127th and Merlin, and we watched God work. It was slow, and it was sometimes rough, but people were coming to faith in Christ, and we saw people starting to grow. In November of 1990, we moved out of the little building and into an elementary school, and that's when we officially organized as Countryside. Those early years were, for me, painfully stretching. But God grew, and he matured me more, I think, at that time than any previous season in my life. It was in the early 1990s that I presented several core values that summarized our priorities as a church. I felt that if we didn't stay firmly committed to and firmly grounded in these basics, then over time we would lose our reason for existence and fail to keep Christ as our first love and tragically even succeed miserably as a church. Over 20 years later, these same priorities still describe us today. And so as we begin a new year together, what I want to do is to use our Sundays in January to review and then expand on these priorities in order to sort of recast a vision as to who we are and why we are here. Today, what I'm going to do is just to briefly introduce them and then, Lord willing, over the next few weeks, we'll consider them more in depth, taking one at a time. So the question is, why take the time to go over things that are so basic? And let me just say, these things are basic. Why take the time to do that? I think that's a good question. A reorientation on the basics is what keeps us grounded and focused so that as we move forward, we actually move forward in the right direction, and that we move forward with a greater sense of confidence and purpose. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are part of something amazing that God is doing today in the world. I don't know if you realize that. He is bringing together an assembly of people, the church. He is building his church, and you and I have the privilege of doing life together with others that God is bringing into his family as the body of Christ. But we need to understand that when the Bible talks about church, it actually does so in two ways. First, the Bible refers to the church. It refers to the church with a capital C. In this sense, the church consists of every person who has been redeemed by Christ, who's been born by his spirit and then placed into his body. So the church, in this sense, is comprised of every believer in the world who is in Christ, including you and me. Regardless of ethnicity, regardless of language, regardless of culture, regardless of denomination, anyone in the world who is in Christ is part of the church. But secondly, the Bible refers to churches. In this sense, the church with a little c is referred to in its local context. For instance, in the Bible, we find that there is the church at Jerusalem, there is the church at Corinth, there is the church at Ephesus. And today we see that there is the church in Olathe, countryside. So when we talk about a church in this sense, we're not talking about a place where we go. We're not talking about a building, because a church is not a building. What we're talking about is who we are. We're talking about the people who are gathered. A church is a group of born-again believers in a particular geographic area who are joined together by the Holy Spirit, who are united by faith in Jesus Christ, and who are built upon the foundation of the Word of God. This has some implications for you today. This means that while you may be part of the church with a capital C, you may actually not be part of a church. And if you're not part of a church, then you are actually missing out on something that Jesus wants you to be a part of. You see, if you and I love Jesus, then we will love what he loves. Ephesians 5:25 says that he loves his church and he gave himself for it. So because Jesus loves his church, you and I also should love his church. You see, the church is God's gift to his son. The church is the pillar and buttress or support of God's truth. The church is what Jesus Christ today is building. The church is what connects us individually with God's family. And the church is where our spiritual gifts function. Because Jesus is the head of his church, as the body of Christ, we are inseparably connected to him. The relationship between Jesus and his church is a unique relationship. It is an intimate union. In fact, it is so intimate that in Scripture the church is called Christ's bride. It is called his body. And so what touches Christ's bride, what touches his body, also touches him. You may remember in Acts 8 when Luke describes Saul of Tarsus, his rampage against the church in Jerusalem, he said this: Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Saul was persecuting the church. He was attacking Christ's bride and his body. And so when Jesus confronted him in that blinding light on the road to Damascus, what he said to Paul, it's amazing. What he said to Paul was not, "Saul, why are you persecuting my church?" He didn't say, "Saul, why are you persecuting my disciples?" He didn't say, "Saul, why are you persecuting my followers? Why are you persecuting my people?" No, what Jesus said is, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In other words, because of the intimate union between the Lord Jesus and his church, Christ viewed Saul's attack on his church as an attack on him. The implication of this is how you and I treat Christ's church, how we view Christ's church, is how we treat and how we view the Lord Jesus himself. I think today far too many Christians have a take-it-or-leave-it view of the church. In other words, they tolerate the church, but they really don't love the church. If the church meets their particular needs or does what they want the way that they want it done. They may like the church, but as soon as problems show up or as soon as they get their feelings hurt, really their true feelings about the church become manifest and they pull out. Today, many pastors have abandoned the Bible's mandate to preach the gospel and to declare God's word in order to be less offensive to the world and attract a larger market share to their individual congregation. And as a result, many churches have become something Jesus never intended his church to be. You see, the typical church today is comprised of people who reject Christ's authority, people who avoid accountability, people who shy away from intimacy, and people who neglect ministry. But the church that's being built by the Lord Jesus Christ is an authentic church that is powerful, that is alive, and that is dynamic. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What this means is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that is powerful because it's being built by the eternal Son of God himself. He said, I will build my church. And the church of Jesus Christ is actually unstoppable because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is not to say that the church is perfect, and it certainly isn't, nor will it ever be in this world, because churches are made of imperfect, struggling, sinful people like you and me. We are the church. One day, not today, one day when we are in the presence of Christ, we will be a glorious church without spot, without blemish, without any wrinkle. But until then, we're spotted, we're wrinkled, and we're blemished. And he is in the process of conforming us to the image of his Son so that we might reflect his beauty. We exist as a church by God's design and for one primary purpose. We exist to glorify God as the body of Christ. That is our supreme, overarching purpose. In other words, the church doesn't exist for you. The church doesn't exist for me. The church exists for Jesus Christ alone. If you miss that, you will completely miss our purpose. You see, we are the gift that God has given to his Son, and he has called us to accomplish his purpose by being faithful to Christ and fulfilling his mission of making Christ-like disciples in this world. And so if we have this calling, if we have this supreme purpose, then we need to understand some very basic core values. We need to understand some biblical priorities that will guide us in accomplishing the purpose with which we have been entrusted. So let me just introduce these priorities this morning, and then we'll look at them in more detail later in January. Our purpose means first that we have the priority to be biblical in what we do. We have the priority to be biblical in what we do. Listen, because it is Christ's church, we are compelled to follow his revelation for what we do, right? We don't invent this stuff. We don't come up with what it is that we want to do. We go back to the revelation of God and see what is it that God has instructed his church to do. What this means is that we have to be committed to teaching and preaching Scripture so that we can faithfully understand and then faithfully follow God through his revealed word in Scripture. In other words, simply put, the Bible is our foundation for everything. The Bible tells us not only what we are to do, but it tells us how we are to do it. This means that biblical exposition is to drive everything that we do. What I mean by that, by biblical exposition, is the plain, simple teaching of Scripture, where we expose what God says in His text so that we understand it and then can put it into practice. Having the Bible as our foundation allows us to do God's work God's way, regardless of where that takes us, because our ultimate goal is not to be a huge church. Our ultimate goal is not to be a financially prosperous church. Our ultimate goal is not to have a huge checking account or savings account. Our goal is to glorify God. That's our goal. And so we have a priority to be biblical in what we do. Secondly, our purpose means that we have a priority to see people conformed to Christ. We have a priority to see people conform to Christ. You see, Scripture reveals to us that God's purpose for every believer is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8:29 says that this is God's predetermined purpose for all of us, so that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. Therefore, as we look at people, we are to view them as a priority, not as a commodity. In other words, since Jesus died for people, one of our priorities is to reach people with the gospel of Christ and then build them with the word of Christ to help them mature toward Christ-likeness. On the front of our bulletin, ever since we've even had a bulletin, is the verse in 2 Peter 3:18. It says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever." You see, all believers are to grow. Well, how does God grow His people? He does it through the knowledge of Christ as revealed in His Word. You see, even though all who are in Christ are complete in Him positionally, there is nothing else anyone needs to do in order to sort of improve on our standing before God. Christ made us perfect in our standing before God. By His grace, He placed us in a right relationship before Him. So, positionally, we are perfect in Christ. But even though that we are complete in Him positionally, we're all still a work in progress practically. I'm not done yet. God is still in the process of causing me to get rid of more and more Mike Summers so that more and more Jesus Christ becomes evident. And He's doing the same in you as well. And since God uses maturing believers to do the work of ministry, the entire body matures as it serves to get people done. See, the whole deal is that God isn't interested in us getting things done. In other words, people are not a commodity to be used just so that the church can get things accomplished and then use them up and burn them out and then find some other people to use up and burn out in order to get things done. We're not about getting things done. God isn't interested in getting things done. Things isn't the objective. People are. God's interested in getting people done. He's interested in seeing people conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what discipleship is. Basically, discipleship is God building people to get people done, to get conformed to the image of Christ. So the church is to be a place where meaningful spiritual relationships can be developed, which promote spiritual growth and provide a context for discipleship and biblical fellowship. We'll say more about that in the weeks to come. Thirdly, our purpose means that we have the priority of ministry in the body of Christ. Since we glorify God by getting people done, this leads to the priority of ministry in the body. If you look at the different ministries we have currently as a church, actually what they are, nothing more, is just vehicles to facilitate our purpose of glorifying God. The ministry of a church, ministries of a church show how we actually function in accomplishing our purpose of glorifying God. And we do this by evangelizing the lost and by building believers. Therefore, all of our church ministries fall into three basic categories. First, we have ministries of exaltation. Ministries of exaltation. Ministries of exaltation facilitate our worship of God. It's what we're doing right now. We're coming together, and we are worshiping God by giving him our full attention. We sing praises to him, giving him our adoration. We hear what he has to say to us and give him our attention. Later, we'll be giving pieces of our lives to God as we give in worship. The church is to be a center for worship. We also have ministries of evangelization. Ministries of evangelization facilitate our witness to the lost. This is really the church then scattering. We leave from this place. We don't kind of button down and hole up and isolate ourselves in the world. We infiltrate the world and we reach the world with the truth of the gospel. Wherever we're at, these are ministries of evangelization. The church is to be a center for outreach. While we would love it if the world would just come through our doors and come and sit down and hear the gospel preached, the primary means of God reaching the world isn't bringing the world into us. It's us going out into the world. This may be news to some of you, but the world really doesn't want what we have to offer. They hate the light. They do not want to come to the light. And so what we do is we bring the light to them. We bring the light to them. But we also have, thirdly, ministries of edification. Ministries of edification facilitate our work with believers. And we have a lot of those because that's discipleship. That is training and equipping and teaching and building believers in the body of Christ. So the church is to be a center for worship, a center for outreach, and a center for training and equipping. And since God uses people to do the work of ministry, God has given every one of you, if you're a believer in Christ, a spiritual gift or a set of spiritual gifts which enable you to serve him. And as we train and as we equip believers toward Christ's likeness, those gifts become evident so that people can deploy them in ministry. But this purpose of glorifying God finally means that we have the priority to reproduce what we are. To reproduce what we are. You see, our responsibility as Christians individually and as a body corporately is reproduction. Disciples are to be made, and churches are to be planted in every generation so that Christ's mission continues until he returns. So as we reach people with the gospel and then we train them and equip them for ministry, some are going to demonstrate in their life evidence of a divine calling and the character and giftedness that will lead us to appoint them as leaders in our church. If you're newer here, realize that we don't operate, using a baseball analogy, we don't operate in the free agency system. See, free agency is if you're Kansas City Royals, as they just did this past offseason, if you are in need of a power hitter to hit in the designated hitter spot, then what you do is you go out and shop for a power hitter that makes that meets certain criteria and that fits within what you can afford, and then you hire him and bring him in. That is, frankly, how a lot of churches deal with leadership in their church. There's a need for leadership, so what the church does is they go out and shop and hire someone to bring them in. We don't do this. We want to train and equip and build leaders that we can appoint as leaders in our church. It also means that God is going to call some of those men to be church planting missionaries who will be sent out by our church to reproduce other like-minded churches. And we've experienced this over the years with God raising up men like Pastor Scott Nickel, Pastor Roger Johansson, Brian Warren, Brian Neal, Otto Skoog, J.D. Summers, Michael Summers. These guys have evidenced a calling of God in their life and character in their life and maturity in their life and giftedness in their life that has led us to bring them on and give them various responsibilities to the point where we could bring them on as elders in our church. We also expect God to raise up other men from within our church to serve here as elders. Others also who will be sent from here to other places that need the gospel. Do you realize that even right now we have some older men in the church that we are watching that we'd like to see also serve as elders? There are some younger, maturing men who are considering serving on the mission field and in the future. We're watching them and wanting to help them toward Christ-likeness and equip them so that one day we'll be able to send them out. So over the past 25 years, these have been the priorities that have kept us really on target as a church that's seeking to glorify God. The priority of Scripture to dictate what we do and how we do it. The priority of maturing disciples to become like Christ. The priority of developing ministries that facilitate our ultimate purpose. And the priority of reproducing disciples and leaders and churches by sending men into ministry. Well, this morning is actually the final Sunday at Countryside for several people who have been a huge part of our church over the years. These folks have been meeting together on Sunday evenings as a church planting team in Lawrence. And next Sunday, they will begin meeting officially as Redemption Hill Church. As we send them off today, it's important that you don't view this church plant as something that Pastor JD is doing, or as something that this church planting team is doing, but that you view it as something we are all doing together, because we are. It costs us, not just financially, to plant churches. It costs us. There's a total of about 30 people on this team. 30 people that are already intricately engaged and involved in key roles in our church. It's going to leave a hole. So it costs. We're doing this together. JD's going to start out as Redemption Hill's only pastor, but he's surrounded by a committed group of servants, some of whom have actually relocated to Lawrence in order to invest their lives in this effort. You see, they're not engaging in this endeavor because they want a church that's more convenient for them. They're not doing this because, well, there's things about Countryside that they really don't like, and so what they want to do is to hopefully start over and shape a church that they want. It's not why they're doing this. This is not for them. They're doing this because they want to see a body of Christ that's alive and flourishing and that's impacting a community for the glory of God. This team is going to need our continued prayer and support as they go to a town that isn't particularly warm to the gospel. And so as we send them off today, I've asked JD to have a few of them come and share with you. So JD, why don't you come, and we're going to hear about 6 testimonies from some of these folks to help acquaint you with what we're doing together.
I think my kids wanted to come up and join me up here, maybe in a few minutes. I just want to echo everything that's been said to this point. Affirm all of that. That's exactly what's going on. It's exactly why we're doing it. And we are excited to be at this point today. You know, it's kind of been a gradual getting our feet into the water, easing into things. But at some point, there has to be a transition. At some point, there's a tipping point where we kind of have to shove off and start paddling all on our own. So we are excited about that. And at the same time, I know for many of us today, it's an emotional day because this is our home. This is our family. We love this church. And like was said earlier, we're not leaving because we want to do something different. We all, and I speak for everyone on the group because I've talked with all of them and asked why they want to be part of this group. And everyone would echo this sentiment that we love this church. And it's hard for us to leave this church. But we are convinced that this is what God wants Countryside to do. We're convinced it's what God wants us to do. And we're convinced that this is his mission for his glory. So we must do this. And we are excited to see what God will continue to do through Redemption Hill Church. We picked that name Largely, I wanted that term of redemption in there because that's what God is doing in this day and age. There's still time. Jesus hasn't come back yet. He might today. He might not for a long time. But at this point in history, God is redeeming people from every tribe and tongue and nation, redeeming them by the blood of his Lamb. And he has called us to be ambassadors for him and to go and use us as his mouthpiece to urge people to be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about that, about how we are called as ambassadors for Christ. And so we want to take this message of redemption to the people of Lawrence. It's a work that God's doing in us, that we've experienced and are experiencing. We are positionally right with God. We are positionally declared righteous and perfect and holy. But like was mentioned, we are still in process. And God is not just going to use us to reach the people of Lawrence. He's going to use this whole endeavor of church planting to change our lives. And he's already been doing that. This experience is going to leave none of us the same. It will impact us. So what we've been doing as Redemption Hill Church is just meeting on Sunday nights. We've been meeting in our home, in my home. Going through the gospel, that message of redemption, to understand the message that gives us our identity and shapes our mission and gives us our purpose. So we've been meeting in our home for the since September, basically. And that's been good for us as we've grown closer together and been understanding more and more of what it's going to look like for us to be a church in Lawrence. You can see there some of us meeting in the living room. But as we've been talking over these last several weeks, kind of a vision statement for us has taken shape. What is our mission as Redemption Hill? And it really echoes the exact same priorities you just heard of exalting God, edifying believers, and evangelizing the lost. And the way it's kind of taken shape for us is that our mission as a church is to glorify God by being and making disciples of Jesus. God's glory is the aim. That's the priority. And the way we do that is by being disciples. That means we need to grow, and we must be in relationship together, accountability, ministry to one another in the body. That's being disciples. And then making disciples is calling other people to receive the good news of the gospel, to trust in Christ, to repent of their sin, and to become part of that body to grow with us. And that's really what our vision and our mission is. And we're excited to begin pouring 100% of our energy and time and effort into doing that specifically in Lawrence. To this date, we've been coming back to Countryside on Sunday mornings, which has been a blessing to sit and be fed, to worship with you, to enjoy relationships with you. And at this point, it's time for us to focus all of that effort and energy in Lawrence. So what we're gonna begin doing is meeting on Sunday mornings. It'll be a little bit different than what happens here, not on purpose, but just because there will be less than 400 of us. And we'll be in my home. So some things will be a little bit different, but we're going to do the same kinds of things. God's word is going to be opened and it's going to be taught. And I see that as my primary responsibility as a pastor, is to shepherd people through the preaching of the word. We're going to worship through song. We're going to lift up the name of Christ and remember what he's done for us. We're going to sing and remind our own souls about who God is and what he's like. And we're going to respond to him in worship through song. We're going to give and worship through our giving. We're going to fellowship together. The same things that happen here at Countryside are going to happen there in Lawrence, just in a smaller context. So we're going to start doing that on Sunday mornings. We'll meet around 9:30 and let people wake up to some coffee, and at 10 o'clock start by corporately worshiping together. I'm convinced from Scripture that corporate experience of all of us gathering together on Sunday morning is a necessary part of being a biblical, faithful disciple, being a Christian. So we're excited to do that regularly. We're also going to start meeting on weeknights in smaller groups, like many of you do here, to minister to one another, to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to hold one another accountable, to discuss God's word together and seek to apply it to our lives in the context of a smaller group of people, and seeing God work through those relationships. We're going to be doing that on weeknights. We've been having some Bible studies with a couple different people who are not saved, and we've had a chance to share the gospel with people through that avenue. We hope to continue that as well. So that's kind of some of the things we're going to start doing. We won't have many of the programs that Countryside has because we don't have the need for those. And what I've told people to this point is, you know, we don't have a youth group right now. We don't have a women's ministry. Right now we're so small that everybody's in everything. We all do everything together. And my hope as a pastor, and I've shared this with our group, is that I don't want to define certain roles of ministry in our church and then try to find people to fit those holes and try to find a peg that's the right shape. What I'm excited about is that there's people in our group that have a desire to minister and they have spiritual gifts. And what I want to do as a pastor is discover what those gifts are and what those desires are, and then enable and energize those people to go and do those things in whatever context we may have at the moment. So I've been hugely encouraged that there's people in our group who've come to me and said, hey, we want to help with children's ministry. Let us know, because we have a desire to serve in any way you need with that. So rather than me define a children's ministry and then look for somebody to fit it, I just want to talk to this couple and say, what can this look like right now, and how can I support that and enable that? I've had people who have said, I would love to serve in the area of music. People have said, how can we be reaching out to people in Lawrence? And they have ideas for these things. And I'm pumped about that, because I get to steer this and shepherd this. I don't feel with this group like I'm trying to drag people along with me. There is God-given, God-created momentum in the hearts of all the people that are on this, in this team. And I'm excited that I don't have to try to stir that up. I simply get to teach the word and give direction and purpose to that, and then watch God use the people that he's gifted and he's called to do those things he wants them to do. So I just want to share, because I could talk too long, but I just want to share a few things that I'm thankful for as we kind of have this moment in our history today of getting us sent off. First of all, I am thankful for the support of Countryside. I'm thankful for the experience here. Not only did I grow up in this church, but I've had the privilege of serving as a pastor for the last 5 years. And that experience has been invaluable to me. I can't imagine doing what we're doing now without having had that experience. Going straight from school to trying to do something like this would be insane. And I'm so thankful that I've had the privilege of gaining that experience here, and the mentorship of the pastors that I've had privilege of serving with. Each one of the men here, our missionaries and Pastor Otto included, all of them have spoken into my life and have encouraged me and counseled me and given insight that has been helpful, valuable. I would not trade that for the world. I'm thankful for the support of the body. As I look around the room here, there's a lot of people that we have relationships with that have been just a blessing. I'm thankful for God's provision. He's provided people to be part of this team. If it was just me and my family, my kids are down here trying really hard to sit still and kind of doing a good job sometimes. But if it was just us, this would be overwhelming. But I'm thankful for each and every one of the people that God's brought along to be part of this team. And I recognize that that can change. Some of these people may not be with us in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Who knows? God can, God takes people different directions sometimes. Sometimes circumstances dictate that team might need to change. And I understand that. But I'm thankful for each one of them that they're here with us today. And I'm thankful for the people that God will bring, because he'll continue to bring people. So I'm thankful for the members on our team and their desire to serve. I'm thankful for God's financial provision. He's met our needs and provided a home and provided resources that we never would have imagined. He's been so faithful to meet our needs. I'm thankful for the support of my wife. If a missionary or church planter feels called to go and do something, and his wife says, no way, I can't do that, that's a deal breaker. That hinders ministry, and it makes it nearly impossible to do what God's calling you to do. I'm thankful for a wife who isn't naive to what this is all going to require of her and of us as a family, but she's trusting God and following me, and I'm thankful for her support, that she's with me and I'm not dragging her into this. She's as excited, if not more so, than I am about doing this. I'm thankful for the gospel, that it is the power of God. It'd be intimidating for us to think about trying to reach the city of Lawrence and convince them that the Bible is true. But Romans says that the gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes. That the power to do these things isn't in us, it's in the message. That takes so much pressure off of us to realize that our task is to simply speak the truth, to tell the truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done to reconcile sinful man to a holy God. There's power in that message. That message changes things. It changes lives. And it's not up to us to try to generate power. That's there in the message itself. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a Heavenly Father who knows our needs and cares for us. He's not going to give us stones in place of bread. He knows what our needs are. He knows how to clothe the birds, feed the birds, and clothe the grass. He can take care of us. I'm thankful for a Father who cares. I'm thankful for a Savior who's redeemed us. That we are not doing this to try to earn God's favor. God's favor has been given to us in Christ. I'm thankful for Jesus and for the fact that all of my past sins are forgiven and all the future sins and future mistakes that we will make in trying to plant a church, that the blood of Christ will cover that as well. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who's with us. He's promised to be with us, to dwell within us individually and within us as a church. So we don't go alone, even though our numbers will be smaller than what's here today. God is with us, and I'm thankful for that. So I'm going to ask my wife if she'll come. She's going to share a few things, and then Stephen and Carrie and Craig and Lori, if you guys would come after that as well.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm JD's wife. This is especially exciting for us right now because JD and I have been talking about church planning for 10 years now. It started back before we were married, and we didn't know at all how that would happen or what it would look like, but it seemed like God was leading him that way. And it's been really fun for us to watch God's plan unfold through the last decade as he brought us here to Countryside and brought him on staff here with the plans eventually to be sent out to church plant. We're so glad to be with this church specifically because this is our home and has been for so long. And this is where I first heard the gospel and accepted Christ 19 years ago, and where I have grown most of my life. And then there were the years of waiting on God to show us the where and the when, and then watching God put this whole team together. And so that's why it's so exciting for us, is because God has made all of the unknowns so clear over the last years. And it has been really faith-building for me to watch God unfold his plan in such an obvious way. I have also been amazed as we watched God provide for a home for us in Lawrence. A year ago right now, we decided that we would not be able to afford to buy a house in Lawrence after looking. But then we started looking into renting, and we realized that we can't afford to rent anything big enough either. So long story short, we started looking at buying houses again, and we stepped out in faith that God would work something out. And he did. In May, just a few months after we started looking, God allowed us to put a contract on a foreclosed home that needed a lot of work to be livable, and then needed even more work to make it conducive to starting a church. And then someone from Countryside ended up giving us the money that covered almost the entire down payment, and we were just amazed. And then we continued to watch God work over the next months as people started helping us in so many ways. We saw people helping us work with everything from electrical work to flooring to painting to food. We were just blown away with how many people came to our house and helped us with our renovation. And I actually counted up the other day as I was reflecting on all of this, and there were at least 93 people who helped us in some way with our renovation, and that just blows our mind. And then several people have been very generous and helped us financially along the way also, and people have prayed, and we're just so thankful. It has been especially a blessing for our kids to see God provide through this, and for them to see men in our church giving up their evenings and their Saturdays with their family to come help us because we had a deadline to meet with an inspection. Our kids got to see people serving and giving in very sacrificial ways, and they got really excited with us because of that. Our kids know, just like JD and I know, that we couldn't be in this house if it weren't for the help that we received from this body of believers. And I'm still in disbelief sometimes that this is all real. We have a house now that is far better than what we thought we could have. And most importantly, it is a perfect setup, and the space and the layout and everything is perfect for hosting large groups and serving as the hub for our new church. And we even have enough space for JD to have an office. And so God just provided in amazing ways. God has been so faithful to reveal his will and to provide for us every step of the way. And through that, He taught me so much about trusting him through uncertainty. There were times this year that were really exciting, but there were also times that were really discouraging and hard. But God used people from this church to encourage us. And through all of this, we have felt so loved and supported by you all. And we're so blessed to be in this family of believers. This last year was a whirlwind for us, but mostly everything has settled down now. And I've been looking back a lot as the year has come to an end and looking back at over the last year what God has done and how he's provided. And we know that church planning is hard, and we know that there are difficulties coming in the years ahead. But because of how we've seen God work and we've seen his faithfulness over these years, and because of the maturity of the group that God has put together to go with us, and because of all of the love and support that we know we have from you all, I'm really excited to see what God is going to do in the coming years.
Hi, I'm Stephen Parkin and my wife, Brady. I wrote everything down because I would try to improvise and speak way too long. So please know that this is a personal note. If I don't make eye contact, it's because I'm a sympathetic crier. Okay. It is always a blessing to us and glorifying to God when we take time to look back and see what God has done. And I was excited to have this opportunity to share with you guys what God has been doing. I'm extremely grateful that God brought Brady and I to Calvary Bible College, where we were able to grow in the knowledge and love of Christ our Savior. God also provided for me my biggest blessing and support, my wife. She has been a picture of grace and forgiveness in my life that continues to humble and teach me. Even before setting sail in our lives together, we were blessed to be able to serve here in the youth group at Countryside. Being allowed to serve as a couple from the start has been a benefit in our marriage and grown our heart for ministry amazingly. I'd like to praise God for the many people here that have poured into my wife. She has grown and into me to get us to this point. Whether through preaching or an encouraging word or side-by-side service or uplifting prayer, we have experienced the support and love of Christ through you. As we are excited for this new ministry God has called us to, we will always remember and be grateful for our church family here, as God has used you to prepare us to serve in Lawrence with Redemption Hill. Our prayers that God would be glorified through us as we always remember our service to be reasonable because of the greatest need we had being met by our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
My name is Carrie Wilson, and my wife Tally and I moved to Lawrence about a year and a half ago. And real briefly, I'd like to try and share with you all some of the burden that we have caught for the community of Lawrence in that time. When we first moved to Lawrence, I think our first impression was, wow, this is just the coolest place we have ever been. There's so much coffee and just cool little knick-knacky small-town stores and things like that. And so we just really enjoyed sort of discovering the exterior of Lawrence. But as we sought to integrate into the community and build relationships with people, we found that there is a very distinct kind of collective identity and culture that people in Lawrence are very proud of and that they will share with you. They will articulate. You can see it in artwork on Main Street, and you can read it on bumper stickers throughout the town. And it is the watchword of tolerance, which translates into a rejection of absolute truth. And it is pervasive. It is amazing. Humanistic thinking and postmodern thinking is not unique to Lawrence, but it is definitely concentrated. And in the year and a half that we've lived there, have come to think of this community as a spiritual vacuum. When everything is true, nothing is true. And Tally and I both have had opportunity to connect with people and talk to people who are unbelievers. And in almost every case, as we tell them what our relationship with Christ means to us, you can see on their countenance a hunger and a thirsting for something real. And we count it a privilege to be a part of this church that will share with them the bread of life and living water that can satisfy that void that's been created. And I don't think that we can overstate the depth of the need that is in this community. What is interesting and also scary is in this rushing into this spiritual vacuum, you can see the false teachers everywhere. Within 2 days of when Tally and I moved to Lawrence, we had Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on our door, sharing with us a false gospel. And at least half the churches that I know of in Lawrence will name the name of Christ and then turn around and deny the authority of Scripture and deny the things that he taught. And so there's a great deal of false teaching and false hope that's being spread in this community. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, our Lord said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I believe I can speak for all of us, part of the Redemption Hill Church Plant team, when I say it is our desire that God would be pleased to allow the light of the gospel to shine brightly through our testimony in as dark a community as Lawrence.
I'm going to kind of talk about the past, and Craig will kind of talk about the future. Basically for us, a few years ago, you know, we were starting to realize our family is changing, our needs are changing, our direction is kind of the same, and we were thinking about making some changes in, you know, just our lives and looking at the future and thinking, you know, we kind of see the end of intense responsibilities with parenting, and had desired to purpose to not just set sail for the rest of our lives and just sort of enjoy, you know, some financial freedom and travel and although we enjoy those things, that is not what we wanted to do. We didn't want to free ourselves of ministry. But we also, you know, there's fear in that. You know, I didn't want to just pick up and go to Africa. I didn't know really what that meant, but we had purposed to make that kind of a priority for the later part of our lives. Anyway, and so for us, this journey sort of started about last March. Craig and I had gone to Florida for a trip for his business, and we one evening had sat and talked and just talked about, you know, the ministry that we've had here at Countryside. We've been youth sponsors for 16 years and have absolutely loved that ministry. And honestly, weren't necessarily feeling like we were done, but yet feeling like everybody seems younger, so maybe we should. still loving the kids just as much as we did the day we started. But and Craig had shared with me sort of a vision that he had for young marrieds, and I thought that was neat too, and definitely open to that. But anyway, so we had talked about the whole idea of, you know, the Redemption Hill Church, and decided that we were super content at Countryside. We love this body. We love the convenience in our lives. We love, and I didn't mean convenience. I mean we lived close, and we loved being here. We love this family, and our two married children were both 30 minutes apart away from us. And if Brady and Stephen went to Lawrence, it would still be very similar, and we were content with that. It was fine, and so we've kind of decided we'll probably be making a change in our ministry, but we really want to stay at Countryside. So we came home from that trip, and we just kind of, actually I don't even think we shared it with the kids that we had sort of made that decision. So about 3 weeks later, Craig had gotten a call from a guy looking at his LinkedIn profile who wanted to interview him for a job in Lawrence, Kansas. And we just, even though we weren't interested in the job, were pretty amazed at the location of that opportunity. There's really nothing in Lawrence for Craig's career, and really a lot of people drive to Kansas City or Topeka. There's not a lot going on there. So we felt like it was a pretty obvious direction steer. From that point, we talked to our pastors, dear friends, and just kind of said that we, you know, what do you think of this? And we were affirmed in that. And obviously we realized we were a demographic that wasn't represented so much. So it was kind of like, do we want to go be the grandparents? Feels really old. I like being youth sponsors. I feel young. But anyway, so from that point on, we just pretty much put our house on the market and decided that was what God had for us. And you know, while there's a lot of, there can be a lot of fear involved with change, there's a lot of excitement too. And we're excited about the opportunity that this fear gives us to grow and to trust the Lord in a way that we haven't done for a while, to get out of our comfort zone. And yet he's been so gracious to give us comfort, to give us only a 40-minute drive to so many of you that we love and hope to stay close with, and that's not something he, you know, could have taken us anywhere, so we're grateful for that. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, as I look around, there's so many people that I love. We pretty much raised our kids here, and it's very near to our heart, collectively and individually. And I was saying to someone the other day that we don't really talk to them that much and our paths don't cross that much, but just merely seeing their presence on a regular basis is an encouragement and something that I will miss. It's funny how those kinds of things, you know, are important. So on those days when you think, I don't really want to get out of bed, it's freezing cold, it matters that you just see people, and it encourages you that they're faithful and they are here. And so I just want to encourage you with that, and want to read Philippians 2, or 1, 3. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with you for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I want to thank you for sending us off in support, but I also want to thank you for many of you who allowed us to be a part of your families through your kids. We have just loved the youth ministry. God has been gracious to give us goodbyes in increments, and we moved out of our neighborhood, and then a couple months later I left a job that I love and many people, and then the youth group, and now this. And it's been manageable, believe it or not. But anyway, I just want you to know that we love you all, and we are appreciative of
your lives and the impact that you've had in ours. So thank you.
Well, to continue the baseball analogy, I'm batting cleanup. Early on, after becoming members at Countryside, Lori and I were asked by Scott and Dory to become youth sponsors. And I'm a sympathetic crier too, sorry. We have been serving in the youth group for several years and have enjoyed that and are going to miss that immensely. As a matter of fact, when we first came to the youth group, Michael was in seventh grade, and this year we're leaving, and help me out, your youngest brother, Marcus, is in seventh grade. So just a little factoid for you. The last couple of years, Lori and I have been considering what's next. You know, we have had an empty nest, and so we were kind of trying to answer the question, and then what? So we didn't want to just kind of say, well, we've served, and just kind of fade off into, you know, just kind of getting fed and whatnot. So we decided, excuse me, to just start praying about that. And God was kind of talking to me about young marrieds. And so I was looking at how we can maybe transition to that. I think I talked to a few pastors about, you know, is that something that's needed here? You know, can we transition into that? So we were kind of thinking and praying about that. And then we started to look at the demographics, too, of the Lawrence team, and it's mainly young marrieds. And so that was kind of something that touched me as something we can do there. And so what's neat is we're going to be hosting a Bible study with mainly young marrieds at our home, starting in February, and that's Carrie and Tally are going to be a group there, and Caleb and Amanda are going to be in that, and there's going to be other folks. But we're going to enjoy having that opportunity there. And what we're going to focus on is understanding a healthy church member, and we're going to be looking at studying more about the gospel, the message of the gospel, and we're going to be looking at how we can share that in Lawrence. I'm excited about that because I don't know if many of you might have been like me. You know, you just kind of think you know a lot about the story of the gospel, but then when you're confronted with an opportunity to share, you don't really know where to go with it. So what I want to do with this time is to be able to have, like, if you have a short opportunity with somebody in Lawrence, to be able to share a short gospel message, or if you have a longer time, you can share that longer gospel message. And kind of like the Sonic commercial where you see the short snippet and you see the long commercial, you know, you get the message. So, but anyway, that's kind of a goal of mine. And then kind of got ahead of myself here, so let me catch up in my notes. One thing that's a blessing to me is my job. Lori mentioned that I received a job offer. Well, it's kind of hard to beat what I got. I can work from my home. I work for a company that has a core values of serving God. And it's kind of hard to beat that. I mean, you would have to offer me an awful lot of money to make me look at it another way. But since I can work from home, I was flexible to move from Olathe to Lawrence and still have the same job. And that's a blessing. That's a real blessing. Lost my train of thought, so I'll move on. Um, 2015 for me is a year of transition. And many of you might say, well, you moved to Lawrence in 2014, so you changed homes. Wasn't that the year of transition? No, that was transitioning. But the year of transition for me is 2015. I've been excited about the leadership at Countryside and their vision, and encourage you to not look at the January, as Mike comes with more vision, not look at that as something that you can just kind of come and, you know, think about the games or think about whatever. Really pray about that, because the transition in my life this year has really made me take a real good look at my spiritual walk and the awesome responsibility I have in making a church plant, to doing my part in that church plant to glorify God and to be a good steward of my time, a good steward of my responsibility in that position. And so I would encourage you to take advantage of the leadership that we have here at Countryside and the vision we have here at Countryside in your own walks, because you're missionaries to Olathe, you're missionaries to where you're at, just like we're going to be missionaries in Lawrence and where we're at. We're all sojourners. We're all just passing through, and we will have that perfect body one day, as Mike explained, but right now we're responsible for our time and our responsibility and our position here at Countryside. So I'd encourage you to do that, just as we're doing that in Lawrence. Lastly, I'm challenged with the responsibility of being the most effective I can be. I know, and I'm going to read this because it's important. I also know that requires spiritual growth and God working through me. That's my prayer request for me and probably for the whole church plant team, that we would be sensitive to the will of God and be clay in his hands. That's, you know, God's got to get us done the same way he's got to get you done. And that's the responsibility that we have. So just be praying for us. And Richard came up to me before Sunday school. Excuse me. Richard came up to me before Sunday school, and he said, you're going to be meeting in a home that's going to be kind of different than the Ottawa church plant. It's going to be hard for people to come and visit. Au contraire. I'll stand up if you want to come and visit, and we don't have enough chairs. Come and visit us, because we want to have the interaction with Countryside. We want to have a closeness with Countryside, because we are a church plant from here, but you are our family still. And as Lori said, we're going to miss a lot of you people day in and day out, but that doesn't mean we can't get together. And we hope to do that frequently with you folks. So thank you.
All right, if I could have JD and Sarah, you come here, have a seat, and your kids. And then have the pastors that are here, elders at Countryside, if you would come. And then if we could have the Redemption Hill team, if you guys would come. All of those, the 30-some people that are going to be taking this trip. I was thinking if it's about, I'm terrible with the math, somebody will correct me, but I think it's about 8% of our church is going to Redemption Hill, to Lawrence to start Redemption Hill. And that's going to leave a huge hole. But I'm very encouraged that God is going to, in that hole, fill it with many of you who, frankly, have just been sort of playing church, coming on Sunday mornings and not getting engaged. This is your opportunity to fill some gaps and to be used by God, to say yes to the things that God is wanting you to say yes to. But I'd like to ask that you as a body would stand and you'd unite your hearts with us as we pray for this entire group that's going to be going out. And every one of these team members is going to need your prayer. That's why I wanted them to come up. And be faithfully praying for God to work. So let's send them off with our blessing. Father, we're so thankful for your church. We get to be a part of something that you're doing in this world. We're grateful that you have raised up these people. You have equipped them. You've prepared them. And you are planting them in Lawrence to be a representation of your body there, to reach people with the gospel, to see your body grow and mature. We pray that you would protect them from all of the distractions that will confront them while they're there. We pray that you would help them as a church to be of one heart and one mind, that you would cause them to be passionate for the gospel and for the truth of Christ, that, Lord, you would help them to resolve differences and difficulties quickly and biblically, that you would not allow them to get away with hiding and withdrawing and being isolationists, that you would develop an authenticity in this group. We ask, God, that you'd be glorified by all that they do. We pray for their pastor, that you would enable him to speak your truth clearly and boldly and sensitively to the heart of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would give him a burden to see the people you bring to this fellowship, a burden to see them grow and mature and develop. Give him vision. Give him tenacity and perseverance. And God, we pray for our church family, that as we see this important step of reproduction take place, that we would not grow complacent, that we would understand that as ascending church that is involved in reproducing, that there are others you will raise up. We ask that your blessing be on all of us, where without you, we can do absolutely nothing. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.